is Dennis Michelson. Welcome to the Data Lab. This is where all the data gets broken down and hopefully turned into some interesting articles over at the Science of Fantasy Football. com. And joining me, as he always does here on the Data Lab on For Frequency's Sake, he's the professor. It's John Bush. John, welcome back.
Hey, Dennis. We are just about ready to get serious with fantasy football.
Oh, my goodness. I am so glad that we're out of the off-season hype. We've made it in through the pre-draft hype. We made it through the NFL draft hype, the post-NFL draft hype, the OTA hype season. We've even made it through training camp hype season. Now we're transitioning through preseason hype season. Yeah. And now we can get into the real games. I'm so glad we're past all these phony hype seasons. So
except for week one, we'll have overreaction week one.
You do have a point. We have one more to live through before we settle in to the nuts and bolts of running our fantasy football teams and being better at the day-to-day operation. Because here's the thing. I see so many people in fantasy football that they will spend many hours preparing for a draft. And you almost have to have that same strategy of looking for value in your leagues on a weekly basis. Because even though you drafted a player and he's on your roster, that doesn't mean all of your roster development is done. And one of the key parts of understanding roster development and what has worked and what hasn't is having a good fantasy football diary. We've talked about this before, but this data is so important because at the end of the season, we're going to study our wins and losses and try to learn from them for the next season. Some of that we'll even do mid-season. But Professor, if we don't have the data, if we don't have a good way to look at the data, then we're fooling ourselves. We cannot do a good study because a good study can't be done without the proper data.
That's right. And I have come to the rescue. I have an outline of a fantasy football diary that will be up on our site with my video comments. I call it a short diary, but you know, you can imagine that your definition and mine can be different on what short is. But I think even myself, I have fooled myself because months usually have passed from August, and even I start drafting in April, and you get fooled. It's been about 9 months, and you kind of forget a lot of things. So a diary is a way to formalize a process that can include metrics. It can include your initial takes, like, you know, I'm feeling good, I'm feeling average, I'm feeling bad. I even talk about that in my comments, that you can drop things into categories that you don't have to define, like, oh, it's between 1.5 and 1.9. You say, hey, I felt good about this draft, or I felt average, or I felt like I really didn't get it. How does that turn out at the end of the season? Just three different little subsections. And so I have a big outline that there's going to be a figure. You can look at it. And I don't know, if Dennis, if you want me to start reading it, or you want to hit a few of these, or how do you want to proceed here?
Yeah, I definitely want to go step by step of what some of the most important things are, and then I'll have maybe a comment or two of why that's important.
Okay, great. So first thing, league rules. Is it a super flex, a dynasty, a redraft? Is it deep bench? Is it shallow bench? Is it five flexes? Is it one flex? You know, kind of defined by some of this terminology, because you're going to want to compare like to like, right? Oranges and oranges, apples and apples. And looking at Dynasty and then comparing it to your redraft, I mean, nobody should be doing that. So you want to figure out what's going on. I play in a lot of tight end premium leagues over at FFPC. So the advantage of doing a lot of drafts in one situation is you kind of know the rules and you can proceed from there. The date of the draft, it is important for to test yourself. You're doing multiple drafts. Some people don't, but I do. About 50-something redrafts this year. Is it April, May, June, July, August? Am I better early? In other words, do I have a big advantage early, middle, or late? I think I do better middle and early versus late. But that is I need to get some more data before I hang my hat on that. What draft pick did you get? Early draft pick, middle, late, you know, and, you know, you can look at that. You want a copy of the draft board. You'll want positional numbers. I drafted 8 running backs and 6 wide receivers. Did I draft handcuffs for running backs, tight ends, wide receivers? Was I doing some streaming? Did I draft rookies? When did I draft them? Where did I draft them? Late, early, middle? What did I do? Did I reach for rookies? What was my plan going on? Did I have a plan? Did I want to go 0 RB? Did I want to take an early quarterback? Did I want to take an early tight end? Did I want to do late? How do I want to – did I want to stream defenses? You need to define what your plan was in that draft. And then after the fact, just how do I feel about things? You know, was it above average, average, below? You know, just figure that out because it might be telling you something. And then during the season, we're talking how good are you at setting your lineups? Do you suck? I have kept track of that for myself. I'm about 80% plus successful, so I kind of hit my marks a lot more than I don't, at least when I've looked at the data. And then there's a lot of work to do at the end of season, but I'm going to stop right there and we can then do end of the season. But I wanted Dennis to comment on what I've said so far.
Yeah, league rules to me is the most important because you do need to be looking at the same kind of leagues together. But I also like to break down league rules by number of teams that are in the league.
Oh, yeah.
Because what I have noticed is that whether it's redraft, whether it's best ball, or whether it's dynasty, or whether it's a keeper league, and those are the only kinds of leagues that I play in, there are some more exotic types out there, but we're going to talk about the main ones only today. But I have noticed that across styles of fantasy football, and I call styles rather than types of games sometimes because, you know, dynasty is a different kind of style of a game than redraft, than best ball, than keeper. And what I've noticed, Professor, is that as I've kept my diary, and it hasn't been quite this detailed, yeah, but I'm liking this a lot because the more data that you have going in, the better off you are when you rate that team and figure out your strategies for the following season. But I've noticed that 12 teams and above are sort of my sweet spot. And the way I've used that data for myself is those are the leagues that I'll invest money in. If somebody invites me to a league and it's an 8 or a 10 team league and it's only a $10 or $20 entry, I'll play it. If I like the people that are inviting me, I'll play it. And even though I know going in that my style of play that I've developed over the years, my ability to read data gives me an advantage the more players are in play, I'll still play those other leagues for two reasons. One, it's fun. But number two is I want to challenge myself. Can I get better in these 8 and 10 team leagues? And if I can, then I figure out new ways to beat that type of a game. Maybe I'm just more stud heavy. Maybe I'm taking more risks with upside in drafts. But again, you don't know what you don't know unless you chart it. And using this fantasy football diary sort of outline for what data you need is brilliant, Professor, because all of these things are stuff that you need, but if you leave one or two of them out, you might not get as much information out of this draft as you can. And all of my redraft leagues that I do over on ESPN, whether it's just a regular public league or a league I've been invited to play in over at ESPN, all of my team names indicate the date it was drafted and the draft pick number that I had. So that way I can see how things are going. And when it comes to redraft, I have the same strategy every single time. If I have an early pick, I'm going either hero RB or an RB heavy team. I'm always taking guys based on who's the most valuable, who is the best pick available. I don't mess around with trying to even out a roster until I get after the seventh or eighth round in a draft. So if the best running backs are the best value, I'll take running backs. I've taken four running backs in a row to start a draft. It's rare, but I've done it, and I've had success with it. It's the value that you're going after, especially in leagues where you can trade. Because even if you have a glut of talent at one position, you can make a trade and get the weak position built back up. Yep, sometimes you're losing the trade in a trade calculator because you're giving up a really good running back for a solid wide receiver. But if it improved your team, it was a good trade for you, even though it might be a good trade for your opposition. But I go into every draft with a similar philosophy. The later my pick is in a draft, the more likely I am to be in something that, you know, more resembles a zero RB, but I call it better than zero strategy, as you've read on Science of Fantasy Football. But the idea is I always have a strategy that is set depending on the draft position. It won't always go that way because drafts are weird and they change and everything else. But I love this way of breaking down the data because I will use it and I'll have even better data for my fantasy diary for at the end of the season so I can know how to adjust my spending for next year because I want to maximize my profit. I also want to have fun in fantasy football. That's why I'll play a little bit of everything. But the money that is going out in bigger batches are in leagues where I've got a better chance of winning because my diary has told me that these are my better leagues.
I agree. And I think I've listed end of the season checkup results, kind of like a checkup, right? Like you go to the doctor. How did you do? Okay. This was your plan. I'm cutting out bacon. I know we're not going to get crazy, but I'm just saying that could be a plan. How did you do? Right. And so I do, how good was my plan? If I went zero RB or whatever, how good was it? Did I do better early versus late choices? Do I hit those sleepers or am I sucking late? I need to know that because I want to, you know, zigzag and get better everywhere. Where I, you know, positional success or failures? Am I better at wide receivers or running backs or tight ends? You know, I would like to know that. How many of my drafted players are left after the season? What percent? Mine is about 60% on average. So 6 out of 10 that I drafted stay with me. But, you know, there's injuries. There's surprise situations. Sometimes we don't understand the roles that we thought we did. Coaches make changes. They get mad. You know, hot hand and all these other kind of weird concepts. Players from waiver wire, am I good at picking up? So the 4 out of 10 that I'll on average I have to pick up, am I good at that or not? Am I good at picking wide receivers, tight ends? What am I good at off the waiver wire? And then the last thing I think you need to, if you didn't win or maybe come in second, that's, you know, let's just say that's a win too because you got more data if you count it as a win. What was the winner's team? What did it look like versus my team? What was his percentage of draft players or her, I guess? What were his or her waiver wire successes? If there's trading, were they the best trader in the league or the worst? I need some information on what won the league as well. And again, this all ties into the rules, when I drafted, what I drafted, how I felt about that. All that can be put together and you'll have some information that we can use to plan for 2023.
And I love that whole strategy because the way I grade how my teams did is I look at how many teams made the playoffs, how many teams made the Final Four, how many teams made the championship game. That's how I look at it. So I don't necessarily look at, hey, if this team was a complete failure, if I didn't win the championship, I just look at how many times I get to the playoffs. Get me to the playoffs. That's all I want, because if I'm consistently putting 80 to 90% of my teams in the playoffs, I am going to have my fair share of championships at the end of the year. It's a numbers game, folks. The more entries you have in the lottery at the end of the season, the better chance you are at winning the money. And I'm not saying it's all about luck, but any given week, 1 week is more about luck than a 14-week window. So if you look at a 14-week window, how many times am I making the playoffs? How many times am I missing? That is not luck. That is skill. Getting to the final table in poker is skill. It's not luck. Winning at the final table, you need the cards to go your way a little bit more. But if you're looking at just the plain percentages, did I get to the final table in fantasy football? That's getting to the playoffs. I'll take the numbers game there. I love the way you're breaking this down, Professor, because this is easy enough to do where you can just jot a note or two every week or every few weeks even to get yourself caught up. And it's not something you have to spend a lot of time on. You have to spend on a little spiral notebook and getting started. And once you're done with the basics, adding a few things from time to time is real easy to do if you know how to index your teams and in the chart. Yeah. But this is brilliant stuff because I don't know if I've ever seen anybody actually lay down an outline. Yeah. I've got an idea of what I keep. And I keep the same data every year, so I basically have an outline. It wasn't as detailed as this, and now I see where I was missing out on some learning opportunities by not having enough data.
And one last thing on this, you can use the screenshot in Windows and just take a picture of some of the draft board and some other information. So you may not even have to write if you just want to, jot some notes or some or to screenshot in PowerPoint. You can drop it in and just add text and just fill in. That way, that may even be easier. I don't know. You just need to find what works for you. Go look at this. Maybe this is too much the first year. That's fine. Cut it down to whatever you think. It's just, this is just what I'm thinking. You may have think other things. That's great. But at least there is a roadmap that's out there now. I haven't seen one either. So at least we have a start. And I would love for the quote experts to come up with something better. Great. I'll use theirs. Right. I'll steal from my betters. Okay, that's how we could get better as well. You know, why am I knocking my head on the wall? If you can think of something better, I'll listen. And so right now, here's the gauntlet. Y'all make this better. And, you know, I think we can all move forward if we have something to look at versus what did I do in April? What was that again? You don't remember. I'm telling you, I don't remember what I had last night for supper, much less what I was drafted in April. I have no clue. Was I doing zero RB in April? I don't remember. I'll have to figure that out.
That is great advice indeed, and it's not always easy to tell, even from the draft board, what you're thinking.
No,
because sometimes when I come out of the draft, I'm not so sure what the heck I was thinking either. But
yeah, that can be a surprise.
But the key is whether you use the professor's fantasy football diary index and outline, or whether you take this and modify it for your own, do the same thing for each and every one of your leagues. Yes. So you have good data going in, so you have good data going out. Well, Professor, brilliant information as always. You can check out all of the Professor's wonderful lesson plan over on scienceoffantasyfootball.com. And, of course, hurry back here next week for frequency's sake for another edition of the Data Lab as we get ready to break down data heading all through the season. Professor, as always, thank you so much.
Okay, I got to plug Dennis. Now, he already let the cat out of the bag on his roster construction article. So if you're drafting this weekend only, what you waiting for? Get over there now. This will be up. There's lots of fun stuff there, so get yourself going and get to work, folks.